Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive. June.
Hi, Jess.
Talk to me about what's on your eyelashes, friend.
Not the kiss strips.
Okay.
I had an event last night. I went out. Uh-huh. I had lashes on and then I took off my makeup, but I thought, let me leave the lashes on.
Why
now, I don't know if you remember this, but Danielle Schneider's mom at her wedding put on, someone gave her like fake eyelashes. Like,
individuals.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she kept them shits on.
Did you really? That's like, interesting.
Most people don't really know what a fake eyelash is and that they really are considered disposable. Like
they are
one use, you know?
100%.
But she wasn't told that. And
yeah,
so
she wore them.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah. She was just like, I have these lashes on. I wear them till they fall off.
Oh, you know, one of my favorite things is to introduce my mother to various innovations. Because my mother is so stunningly beautiful, but you know, they don't necessarily keep up with the times. And sometimes I will blow her mind with certain things. Like I'm going to put a strip lash on her when I come home and she'll fight me. I'll have to like knock her out.
Of course.
I'm going to put it on her though. I'm going to put it on her.
Listen, I don't know where you, I can't believe we're still talking about lashes. I just can't believe it. But I don't know where you fall. And maybe we've already had this conversation. Again, deep divers, if you are hearing the same stories and conversations,
sorry. I'm just so
approached
sorry.
With like the eyes of a newborn.
I don't know.
We have probably spoken about this.
Just fast forward.
You can fast forward. Yeah, press that like little 15 second button. Yes. And hopefully you'll be on to another conversation that we also
have already
covered.
Oh, but by the way, Sarah Jessica Parker.
I saw that.
She's been using these kiss. You think I like paid her like a paid sponsorship?
I don't know.
What do you mean? Is it real?
I thought when you reposted it,
nobody like mocked
on your stories
up.
That I didn't see the blue. I didn't see that signature.
It's her official Instagram. Right. Says this is what I use. And it's exactly the same ones. Now I have to give that to my makeup artist Alexis Walker. That's all her friend.
But what I want to talk about, and again,
please.
We probably already discussed it, but I don't have a good read on where you fall on eyelash extensions.
Well, I tried it for very long. I tried it right before the pandemic. I gave it a good 3 months.
And that's right, because I think in one of our first podcasts,
I was wearing them. BB's best friend's mom wears them, and she's from Texas. And I will tell you that Texas women have a lot of secrets. Okay, a lot of secrets that we should be paying attention to because they come correct in their beauty. They do not fuck around when it comes to their daily upkeep.
I mean, like Suchin Paka, I thought we were looking to like Korean women and...
Listen, because if you can find somebody who was a cheerleader in their day, okay, and they know their way around...
I'm too scared of that, Jess.
Don't be...
That's a woman
find
I'm
your way around. Listen,
of.
Bebe and Clyde, her best friend, had the 100 days of school. And I've posted this picture every year because it makes me laugh so hard, where they played old. They wanted to go to school as a 100-year-old couple.
They were the only people
who came dressed up. But when it came to doing the gray, you know, spray on their hair, my friend Diane took the bottle and she goes, please let me, and had them step outside. And you saw her shake that thing. Apply it like it was, you know, she's no stranger to a hairspray.
Well, I don't think
we're
from
we
Texas,
shouldn't be. Why are we letting go of hairspray?
Well,
hairspray is our friend. Don't say no to hairspray. It can help us. Why do we always have to look like we're freshly fucked? It's not true. First of all, we aren't freshly fucked.
I know, but I love that look.
I understand, but it's not for start the day looking good so at the end of the day you can look double left, okay? Don't start double left because by the end of the day you look like you've just been rode hard and put away wet, which is not what you want to look like.
Well,
anyway, listen. She wears them and she looks like a Disney character every morning, like beautiful, bright eyed.
Thing waking up like that is nice. I tried, it didn't work.
They fell out immediately. I touched my eyes too much. Then when they fall out, I don't have the time to go back and get them redone. It just didn't work. I wish it did because for those first glorious days.
So here's the trouble I had with them. So, you know, if I was on a desert island and was told I could take one thing, obviously I would take mascara. And I'm just nothing without it.
I understand.
But when I got those false eyelashes on, a few things happened. First of all, the process of getting them is unsettling.
No, you know, it really, you have to stay there for so long.
Oh my God, with your eyes closed. And they're basically like, bitch, if you open your eyes right now, you're blind. You will be blind forever. So you're given such a strong...
Even for me, that's a lot.
I know. And you're okay with that.
So many different procedures. Yeah, that could go wrong.
Right. But to me, it's like, oh my gosh, like that's, it's really scary to get them on. Now, maybe the technology has changed. It's been a few years since I've had them. But then when they come on, I love them. You can't wear mascara.
You can't.
And that to me is a non-starter. It's like, don't fucking force me to choose between length
And volume.
Don't ever put me in that position. Don't ever put me there. Okay. And I felt so kind of trapped.
Controlled. You know?
Yeah. And also like, I love the length, but I'm not allowed to do anything with this.
We fought so hard for our freedom and we have to maintain it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we won't go back.
Yeah.
You know, we won't go back.
I know.
And then the other thing is then they're on for a while. And also if you're working during night, you have to like tell the makeup artist.
Can't do that. They don't like it.
They're not happy about it. Because you've also taken away something that they do.
That's right.
And so it's like, okay, well, then you have to, they explain to you, well, I can't put mascara on. These aren't appropriate right now. And I'm like, well, you can't take them off. Like if you try to take them off right now, I've basically been told like I'll have nothing. The event I went to last night, I got in the car and I took the kids. It was really fun. And I got in the car and we were going home. And the studio had sent over a car, which was so lovely. And when we got back in it, there were 4 gift bags.
Ooh.
And I just lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, because it's free.
It's fucking free.
Free stuff.
It's fucking free. And then I was so excited. And I was going to give 2 of the gift bags to their little friends who came with us and who weren't in the car. And then when I looked in those gift bags, it was, oh man.
Not good. Bunch of old pirates booty or what?
Basically, it was a brand of snack you ain't never heard of before.
Times have changed.
Yeah. And there was like 3 random like snacks. Mm. And even though I was sad, I was also like, well, it was free.
It's not nothing. Know?
And it's not nothing. And the experience of going in there and seeing those little bags was like kind of enough.
I love at the end of a wedding, if they leave something on your car. Have you ever had that on the car seat? Now,
no.
Oh, yes. Sometimes. Okay, so I went to a wedding of a dear friend. When we got in the car, okay, and this was a South Jersey wedding. And South Jersey is famous.
Those cars. Well, I guess they're South Jersey, the valet. So they figured out their what.
It's the valet.
So I had never heard of such a thing.
South Jersey is famous for their cinnamon donuts. Okay. Their apple cider cinnamon donuts are famous in South Jersey. And when you got into the car, there were a bag of warm cinnamon donuts
and
hot cider in the car for your drive home.
Whoa. Now, what if you Ubered?
I don't No one did. It was South Jersey. It doesn't exist.
The Uber doesn't
didn't
go
exist
there.
Then.
Oh my boy, fucking God. Oh boy. That just took my breath away.
So anyway,
let me say one more tablescapes. Thing about that.
Let's have a takeaway. Let's have a takeaway even to our dinner parties. Let's
yes,
have a takeaway.
Here's where I won't do a takeaway.
Okay.
And I actually really resist this.
Okay.
And I've had, I actually.
Oh, gift bags after parties. Party bags? Party favors?
Gift favors at children's parties. No.
But that's what they live for, June.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care. And I have had, I've hosted a lot of kids'
I hate
parties.
Them.
I don't want that shit in my own home.
The plastic stuff.
No, I don't want a plastic. I don't want a little bag. Mm-mm. And I'm sorry for these children. Like the gift is the party I just threw you.
The gift is
that
the
you
pinata.
Were invited to.
Yeah. You got a sack of candy from that pinata. That's it. Believe
that's
me.
It. I got gift, you a giant bouncy house.
Also,
that's
the it. Gift. The gift bags have got. Have gotten really crazy.
Now, listen, I have never heard a kid ask me for a gift, like a party favor thing, but I have asked parents, I've had parents ask me, like, and where are the party favors? Some story before Taylor leaves that we didn't miss them.
I want to get those googly eye glasses. Got to make sure we have those. I throw that shit out before it even gets in my house.
That's what I'm saying. Do you really want that? Do you think that's even going to make it out of your car? And into your home, or you're gonna be fishing out fucking tiny, no brand Legos,
and like yeah, and a melted Jolly
off
Rancher
the floor, like and in the cup holders of the car seats. You don't want this.
You don't want
they
that.
Don't want this. Just trust me.
You know what? I'm gonna unite against that. That's a great idea.
Thank you. It's time we take a stand.
Yeah, it's time we take a stand.
Just because things have been a certain way doesn't mean
they have to.
They have to stay a certain way.
Certainly after the pandemic, we have a lot of choices about how we're going to move forward. And that might be one of them. Do away with gift. Also, that plastic shit is just going right into a landfill.
That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. Now, a warm cookie on the way out, or as the Doubletree does it on the way in, that's ooh. A different situation.
Well, that's the other person I want to have on our podcast is the Simple Sophisticate, the host of the Simple Sophisticate. And she just had her first post-pandemic dinner party. And she does do a hot chocolate chip cookie on the way out for everyone. She just puts it in. And that's just a little something in a little bag and a little paper little bag. That's cute.
Now, I'll never forget the first time I went to a Doubletree. It was when I was shooting Bride Wars. Of course, the rest of the cast was staying in like some hot, swanky hotel in Boston. And I was
that
like,
was a cautionary tale.
When I realized like, for some reason I'm not with the cast.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I've been adjacent.
I have been adjacent.
And I would see pictures of all of them like living their best lives out there.
Yeah. Having like, a seafood tower type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And
brought
they would
up to
ask,
the room.
Like, we never see you in the lobby. And I'd say, well, I'm not there. I've been placed in the double tree, you know. But by the way, don't shit on it because when I went in there and they opened up that little oven that's like built into the check-in area and handed me a warm chocolate chip cookie.
I appreciate these touches. I want to come back as a hotel reviewer. It's one of my favorite things to do. Okay. I walk in and I'm like, I just make note.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, little touches.
And now I have to say, and you know, Doubletree, if you're listening, like we are open for
100%.
But Jess, like when I think about, especially if I'm like traveling to no man's land, like where do you want to stay? What are the options there? When I see there's a Doubletree, I've got a warm spot in my heart for it because
genius move.
Because I remember that feeling of being handed a warm chocolate chip cookie. And the other great thing about it, and this is a hack, is you think to yourself, oh, I can only get those at check-in. No.
Of course not.
Anytime you want one.
Anytime. They love to give it to you.
Go up there.
They love to give it to you.
Can I have a chocolate chip cookie and they hand it right over?
You think they have like a limited supply?
No.
No, come on.
No, it's not Mr. and Mrs. Doubletree like running the front desk.
Come
like they're
on.
Happy
the
to get
elves back there working their asses off? No.
And they're good cookies.
Come on. They're like those Otis Spunkemeyer, which is this very strange name. Remember we used to have those in junior high?
Oh.
You get it
God,
warm.
Yes.
You get it warm.
I still remember my middle school had these chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
And I could never have, I had never found
them. You can't find them and you never will.
No, I will never find them again, but they were larger than you'd expect.
I know what you're talking about.
And they were not cooked through.
That's exactly right.
The middle was raw.
And also, I was never given cash for school. So I would always have to like get a bite from Jen Nepo's cookie, you know, just never.
Oh, never.
You know, I brought my lunch until the whole time.
As did I.
You know what I really hated it.
Just, you know what I really wanted? What I really wanted
was to go to Sbarro's for like a slice.
Of course.
And a soda?
Of course. But I also like, I wasn't even the kid who was given like a proper brown bag.
What
I was always tasked. I was always.
Is it reusable?
No. Like, I was, yeah. Well, my dad was an early environmentalist. You know, we composted in our backyard, never had AC. He rode his bike everywhere.
Right.
And so he was like, you think I'm going to fucking purchase nice brown paper bags for you? Like, you're going to use whatever bag you find here. And so there were times where I had like a Macy's shopping bag.
That's tough. That with it, because also the brown items just roll around in there. It's not, there's no way to make
everything's
that.
Everything's bruised by the time you get it. You know, if you had a peanut butter jelly sandwich that was wrapped in saran wrap, like it looked like it exploded in there.
It's so wet too. It's so wet.
Or I had like an A&P or a Wallbounds like plastic bag in which everything went to the bottom. So you had an apple.
There's nothing protecting it. There's no Yum Boxes. And by the way, Yum Box, if they want to come on too, I love a Yum. You have a Yum Box,
Yum
right?
Box.
Come on, it's all about the bento box these days. The Yum Box is everything. Yum Box is little compartments and it tells you grains, dairy, protein, fruit, veggies.
I've had one of those, but I never abide by those rules. Yeah.
No, I ignore it. Like it's usually pirate's booty, another carb, one
Doritos.
More carb, bagel, granola bar, chocolate chip granola bar. Good luck. You know, but yeah.
Keep your energy up. Don't crash.
Yeah, keep it. Yeah. So that's that. BB, by the way, has to get braces.
This is breaking news.
In a month, we just found out.
Yes. What? I didn't know. I mean, she's what?
She's only 8.
She's so young, but they're doing it earlier, huh?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but what they used to do for us, and especially with Irish teeth, which are enormous, is they waited until 7th grade and then pulled half of our teeth out like it was the 1800s. And then to make room, like it was like wild.
Well,
I think I had like 6 or 7 teeth.
I know you know, Jess, but I didn't go to the dentist from the age of 10 to 21. And yeah. I can't.
Wait,
people don't understand things were, I was forgotten about. So I had two baby teeth that never came out and had to get adult braces. At the age
when?
Of 26.
Oh no. That's right.
I vaguely I spent a lot of time hiding
inside
they
indoors.
They were behind my teeth and I had to completely relearn how to speak because my tongue was so yes, and not only that, but I had for about 6 months two of my front teeth were missing. My baby teeth.
Oh, whoa. I think I am
they were
remembering
some down
of
the adult.
Okay. So you were living on Easy Street during your teen years because you didn't have to have braces.
I thought I was, but I
understand.
Fucking paid
well, and
the
that's
price.
What I said. I said, BB, you don't want to pay this price, which I can use
I'm
as
happy
a cautionary
to do,
tale.
I'm happy to go around to elementary schools, to middle schools, and talk about my journey. Because,
yeah, like the guy with
let
the
me
voice
tell you
box
something.
That used to come who smoked too much. Never forget that.
Let me tell you something, Jessica. Like, first of all, adult orthodontia. A denture, whatever you pronounce that, not
no
covered
joke.
By insurance.
No.
So,
yeah,
really think about it. I am happy to spread the word. Now, I do blame my parents because, you know, I came out to LA and I had a dentist who said she did an x-ray and she said, oh my God, you have adult teeth up there.
Wait, they were up there. They just couldn't come down. They were waiting for their time in
the
sun?
They were waiting in the wings. They were waiting for their moment. And then I went to an oral surgeon.
That's crazy.
The initial thought was like, oh, I'll just remove the babies and bring the adult teeth down. And he said, well, you're going to find many, you know, cosmetic dentists in LA who will do that for you.
Oh,
but
no.
You will risk, you run the risk of facial disfigurement because these adult teeth are so good. And honestly, I should be in the business of saving them. So he kind of convinced me to save them. And he also was like, you don't have room for them. We need to spread your teeth out to create the space.
Now,
if this isn't a commentary on like me grieving my childhood and not being ready to like move on from my nuclear family and all that, then I don't know what is, you know?
Your adult teeth were waiting in the wings.
Yeah, babe. Yeah, babe.
Wow, your teeth are so beautiful. I would have never known. We have to work for it. We do have to work for it.
And then I was shooting a movie. I was shooting Year One.
That's what it was. I'm remembering now. You had to have a glam up. You had to have a glam up.
I had a fake tooth in and I couldn't eat apples.
That's right.
Because it was a flipper.
So anyway, yes. And
listening, Jess, is like another word to the wise and for your children. You don't have money in your 20s. Like, I could not afford this dental work and lots of times was doing it on my own.
Well, that's the thing. Get it done now where you're under your parent. I mean, I don't even know what's covered, quite frankly. We'll be
probably covered. It's still going to cost you, but...
Yeah, but something's covered of it. Well, I don't know what to say. I'm like, Jesus Christ, the hits keep coming, you know, with the braces. Now, maybe in second grade, it makes you cooler.
You can't make a decision on this.
They do it earlier now. So she'll have them for like a year, then they'll take them off, then put them on again, like at 12 when everyone else has them. That's what they do now.
Because their faces are growing. Yeah.
They don't want to lose teeth. That's the problem. You don't want to lose teeth because you have to have them for the rest of your life.
I held on to my ferment way too long.
It's wild.
You're preaching to the choir, babe.
I know, the dead tooth of it all. It is something, isn't it? But to be like,
your dead tooth, like teeth carry our history. They carry our pain.
They carry.
I'm telling you, like, if you think about it, you know, our teeth were up there when we were in our mother's bodies.
Oh. Well, you know, I had a moment where I saw her skull, because now they do full x-rays of your skull. They didn't do that shit when we were. I went to Dr. Peterson. You know, his daughter had the only people we knew at a pool. So we would wringle dingle up on her, like, come around in summertime.
That's what my dad told me. First day of school, find the rich kids so you can go in their pool.
It was always tough, too, because around the warm weather, you'd start dialing her up. She also had an outdoor fridge filled. She was an only child.
Wow.
Only child.
What a life.
What a luxury.
Yeah.
You know what she had? Do you remember the ice cream pops that were Mickey Mouse?
Fucking started on those. Okay. I can taste them in my mouth right now.
She had like 800 of them. She's passing them out like they're nothing.
The texture of those ice creams.
Yeah. Like space like ice cream almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she would have those. But anyway, so obviously her dad, he was the only, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like when you're a dentist or an orthodontist in a town like that, like you're the only one in town. You're the Frank. Really? You're the Lorenzo, yes. You know? So you don't really have a choice. But anyway. But I tip my hat, beautiful teeth. I don't know what I was talking about, but this will affect, you know, our lives. And I support if anyone's feeling weird about their teeth, go ahead and change it. You know me. If you don't like it, change it. And suffer through those braces. We have to suffer for our beauty. We do. I'm fully supportive. And if you love your imperfect teeth, which by the way, are cute as fuck. Like when you have a little gap, I mean, that shit is like hot.
I'm married to a
Lauren
gap.
Lauren Hutton, the gaps go I'm all married night. To
a gap. You don't talk to me about a gap.
The gaps go teeth all I loved. Night.
Kirsten Dunst's teeth.
Ooh,
when
yes.
She smiles.
She's got like kind of babyish teeth and they're just kind of like kind of cute.
They're little and like,
Ethan
yeah.
Hawke, hot teeth.
Yeah.
Fucked up teeth in a man sometimes. I'm like, okay. Did you grow up, you know, without dental insurance? That's kind of hot.
Yeah.
You've had to survive your way too.
Yeah. Is it a little bit of meth? A little bit of rock and roll? Who knows?
Remember Reality Bites? Oh, God, that movie was so hot.
I think I pretty much based my whole personality off of that movie.
Absolutely.
You know, like that's my origin story.
Yes, it really is.
Jess, we have a real star.
Talk about great teeth.
Talk about great teeth.
Talk about great teeth. It's the first thing I know.
Yes. And some breaking news came in.
Yeah.
Well,
I know I used to work at CNN, but this is breaking news.
This really is breaking news. Yeah. I know I said that earlier in this episode when we were talking about Jessica's daughter getting braces, but this is this is hot off the presses.
This is better.
Because Danny Pellegrino is joining us, and it has just been announced that as of today, he has joined the likes of our dear friend Casey Rose Wilson and her book, The Wreckage of My Presence, in becoming a New York Times bestseller. Danny Pellegrino, wow. Podcast host.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm the biggest fan of both of you, and I want to talk Playing House. I want to talk Grace and Frankie, but I mean, we'll go with whatever you two want to talk about, but I'm excited.
We're going to talk about you.
And I wasn't even done with your intro because there's more to say. You're a comedian, a writer, and you have just written the most lovely, warm, hilarious book that I am in the midst of, How Do I Unremember This? Unfortunately, True Stories, which has hit the New York Times bestseller list as of yesterday. Well, yeah, today's Thursday. So when did you find out, Danny?
I found out last night. So I was, last night. I was home and I was so excited. I don't know. I just sort of like lost it and I cried.
It's
and
big.
Did you cry? What did, yeah, take us to those moments. Yeah. I think we have to savor them. And I hope you really remember. And I want you to keep thinking about that moment so it gets burned in your memory. So you can remember that. So you can revisit it. So you got a call and then what happened?
I got a call and I don't know. I just was, I sat down and I cried. And I think I was running on like almost no sleep because I had been traveling for, I don't know, 11 or 12 days or something. And so I felt sort of like a zombie, but it woke me up. I mean, that just perked me right up. And so it was really exciting. And yeah, I mean, I can't even believe that I have a book out because it was sort of a dream of mine to do a book like this. And so then to have people sort of embrace it and buy it and all that kind of stuff was just sort of the cherry on top.
Yeah. Does it feel too like you finally are your most authentic and vulnerable self to the world, right? Something that probably all of us struggle with until we get to the ripe young age of what we are now, which will never be revealed. Did it feel like, wow, I'm myself and it worked and people accept me? And not like I'm craving their approval, but it's like there's a freedom to just being you.
Yeah, it felt really good because I had been trying to get this book off the ground for a while and it was tough to get a publisher on board and all of that kind of stuff. So then it was gratifying that it even came out. And then also, I think in a weird way, it was gratifying because I think we need some silliness right now. And so I think everything is so heavy. And I was really laughing when I found out about the New York Times thing, because the whole list, the category I'm in, it's like all of these like White House whistleblowers and like all this really like heavy political stuff. And the New York Times writes like a one sentence description. So it was like White House whistleblower, you know, whatever. And then it's like Danny Pellegrino, gay in Ohio. And it's
gay in Ohio. And it's like great.
It's just
but
like,
also, Danny, do you feel though too, like what a wonderful book to pick up, and not just if you're, you know, somebody who feels like they're not maybe fit where they live, you know, for any number of reasons, not just your sexuality, but it's like to feel like somebody could pick up that book and go, wow, look what I could become. Look what I can do. That's really exciting to give that to the world, to young people.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I remember reading, there was a book called Swish that I've talked about that I remember when I had moved to Chicago after Ohio, and I remember reading this book by a gay man named Joel Durfner. And I remember reading it before I came out of the closet and thinking like, oh, this, he like loved pop culture and he spoke in pop culture and he was talking about dating and sex and family and all of that kind of stuff. And I remember reading that at a pivotal age and just being like, oh, this, you can be gay and talk about all these things. And obviously the world has changed so much now. I mean, I am the young youths these days because I feel like it's just easier to come out and be yourself and everything like that. But Yeah, so I remember reading that in a Chicago Borders bookstore in Lincoln Park. And it's like,
One thing you talk about in the book, which is so, I don't know, it really, it hit me hard because I felt the same way as a child, where you were talking about, it's early on where you're describing being at a sleepover and all the boys calling girls, and you couldn't understand, like, why would we waste our time on the phone with these young girls when we have these like fascinating middle-aged moms to talk and learn from and hear from. And I was like, oh my fucking God. I felt the same way. And I mean, I do think it's why I have such reverence and fondness for so many housewives and like women living out loud in their middle-aged lives, because those women, my friends' moms, were similarly like fat. Like, they were Judy and Barbara to me. They were endlessly fascinating and stars. They were stars to me. And in their suburban kind of basicness too, I was just like, I went through a Rolodex of all of like my friends' moms and all of my mom's friends who were, you know, and especially my mother, who was constantly in some sort of Al-Anon or Overeaters Anonymous or some sort of support group. We had a cast of characters in and out, you know, one stranger than the next. And I was just like obsessed with these ladies and couldn't understand what all the fanfare was about the straight boys in our class. I loved them and was attracted to them, but I couldn't, they were not.
Yeah, you don't want to chat with them.
Last thing I wanted to do was talk to them.
There were always a handful of like the coolish moms too that would hang out with the kids, you know? It was like, those were the houses I always wanted to go over. Like, I wanted to chat with the mom, and they were always so
they loved
excited.
You. They loved you.
Oh, I loved them. I mean, they were excited to talk about their marriages, their jobs. And I feel similarly about the housewives. It's like, those are the stories. They have the wisdom in the stories. Like, the other classmates, they didn't, what had they gone through? They were never through a divorce.
They never
had to deal with their husband degrading their herb garden. Like, they didn't know anything. So I loved the moms.
Were you very close? I talked about this, Jess, but I had this memory of, I won't name her, but a mom that was like very, one of my best friend's moms, who I loved so much, passed away very suddenly on like the floor of a 57-minute photo in our town. But I was obsessed with her. But I also remember when she was going through menopause, and my girlfriend and I were like camping outside her house in a tent, because why not?
Right.
Over the summer. Sure. Yeah. And I remember looking up from the lawn and seeing her mom at like 3 a.m. just pacing back and forth in the window.
We
would see lights go on in different rooms. And she was going through menopause and had insomnia.
Oh.
And it's just crazy now too to think about some of those women, because I'm like, oh fuck. I was just like, oh, that's so weird. Your mom's up. You know, and she was like, yeah, she doesn't sleep that well at night. And now I'm like, that woman.
She was going through it. I remember my dad sitting me down when my mom went through menopause. Like, and she's going to kill me for saying this, but I remember my dad would call us in the garage, because that's where he was allowed to smoke his cigarettes. And so he lit the cigarette and was like, you know, Dan, your mom's going through something and we need to be patient, because she was just so emotional.
Yes.
And I couldn't wrap my teenage brain. I mean, I think I was later in high school at this point, but I couldn't wrap my brain around the emotion she was going through. And my dad had to call me in the garage over a Marlboro light and tell me, was up
and
with
God
mom.
Bless your dad for setting the scene. Like yesterday, you know, and I had to go into menopause really early, like 39. And as I've said to June, like, I really feel great because I'm almost through it. And like, then these ladies are going to go through it. And like,
so happy to say
do
that.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm already starting to emerge, do you know, and live my best life. Because I've managed like the waking
glint in your
and
eye.
Hot flashes. They're done for me, okay, Danny? But it's coming for them.
But I think that we need to start teaching. I mean, this is maybe a little bit heavier conversation, but I think we need to start teaching young boys too about like what goes on with women. Because yes. I mean, if my dad didn't sit me down with that cigarette, like I don't know that I would have really knew anything, because I also grew up with two brothers, and I don't think
just thought your mom was having a nervous breakdown.
Right. Like you just don't understand. And
listen,
why don't we teach young boys?
Because it's so taboo. Kind of, and not only that, I mean, I will say my two, you know, young boys, until they tell me otherwise, do know a lot about my menstrual cycle.
Like
they are very in tune. And yeah, they really are. But I will tell you, Jess, even now, and maybe you're keeping this information away from your girlfriends because you want us to be shocked and surprised. Yeah, because you're kind of like gatekeeping menopause. Because like even now, I have this image of this like wonderful woman I love, this mom like walking around like a ghost.
Yeah,
I still don't know. And I'm like listening to you, Danny, talk about your mom's menopause. I'm like, I actually, when does it start? How long does it go on for? What happens?
Like, you don't know. You don't know. Nobody talks about it. It's a mystery. I was shocked by all of it. It's a mystery. I remember calling my mom and being like, what the fuck? Because all of a sudden you just start gaining all this weight. It's insane, but you're not eating anything different. And you're very judgmental of your mom at that age, especially because you're in your teenage years where you've never looked better.
Okay. It's the opposite for me, Jess. I was on a 4 bagel a day diet.
Well, there you go. Well,
I've never looked better now.
What kind of bagel, though, were you
great
going for?
Great question, Danny. Great question.
You know, the Lenders. It was a Lenders bagel. They were frozen, and then you warm it up.
I grew up on Long Island, so we had real bagels.
Okay.
We had real bagels, and the saddest part of this, and by the way, this is a podcast where we're positive about all shapes and sizes and every single, but I couldn't understand why when I arrived home at like 4 p.m. and started my snack, which was a poppy seed bagel toasted with butter, and then maybe two, and then had dinner and then maybe followed that up with another bagel. I couldn't understand like why I was, 30 pounds heavier than everybody else, because it just didn't. Bagels to me were like, oh, you grab an apple,
you grab a
pear,
or you grab a bagel.
Quick snack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quick snack.
My grandmother used to watch me after school, and we'd have to go pick up my grandfather. And she took it upon herself to take me to McDonald's every single day. And I would get a full quarter pounder meal as like a pre-dinner.
Yes, a snack.
It was my after school snack with a full number 3 with cheese and ketchup only. Get that. And there were 2 years when this was happening where I gained a lot of weight, and I went out to play football, and I was too overweight to play football, which you think of football as.
No, they want you to have weight on you to be a linebacker.
They told me I wasn't allowed to play.
That's
like they
tough.
Said they, so I had to, in order like to make it through preseason, they had to put me through this rigorous diet. And it really like fucked me up in the head because I lost all this weight. Then I found out years later, I feel like I'm getting too deep here, but years later, I find out the principal called my house because they thought I had an eating disorder at the time because I had to lose so much weight to play football. And it was just, it like screwed me up for life. And I sort of briefly touch on this in the book, but it really screwed me up because then I remember people kind of saying, oh, he lost all this weight. But then they awarded me with like the football award at the end of the season.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't because I was good at football. Mm. It was because I had lost all this weight. So it was like I was getting so many mixed messages at a young age of like, well, you're winning this award for losing weight.
But
then also people are talking, the principal's calling because they're worried about you. And it was like that screwed me up for life with food and body
right,
image
worse.
Issues and everything.
Of course.
But yeah, my grandma's
you write about
me to
that
McDonald's.
In the book. I love that. I love that. You write about that. I read that part in the book about like your, and I think it's so devastating to me because I have that moment too of when you realize your lifelong kind of obsession. You say something in the book about how many hours, what would we all do with the hours we spend thinking about, disciplining our eating, our bodies, all that. I mean, I don't know. It's most of my day, but I also am like, I have that memory too of when I knew that I was bigger or I was felt, I was made to feel bigger. And it was when I got out of a pool at Kelly Ryan's birthday party. It was the first co-ed pool party.
Kelly Ryan.
And a little gentleman. She was lovely, but a little gentleman, as I exited the pool, turned to me and said, "How much do you weigh?"
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow.
And
I, of course,
I was so much taller. I mean, I was 5'9 when I was 11. So
yeah,
extrapolate from there. But I had that reckoning of like, I'm big, which I didn't even know before, you know, and it's so heartbreaking to think about those moments and reading about your experience with athletics, which, you know, in some ways for me, Danny, like at sports was where I could actually use having a taller, bigger body. And so I ended up getting a lot of confidence out of sports, but it's like these moments where you track back to like, oh, and then from
like
that
that's
point
what happened
on,
there.
Yeah. As I tripped and walked, like, God bless me. I did walk back over to take another dive off the diving board.
God bless me. Yeah, even sure. I was having a white t-shirt, a BCT down to my knees as if that was going to hide it.
Right. Right. And I remember back in the day, like just also having to deal with the diet industry has changed a lot now. But I remember like those Alestra chips when I was at a pivotal age of like learning how to eat healthy. It wasn't really eating healthy. I was buying all those cookies in green boxes that make you shit and stuff.
Yes.
It's like those, that's not healthy eating. That's just like a...
And I was like destroying them.
Snack wells.
I would eat a whole box because I was like, it's diet.
Me too. Yeah, it's healthy.
You know,
I think they were like Olean chips. So you could buy like the Doritos, but they were with Alestra. Yes. Do you remember those?
And it made your butt explode.
Like
it was
literally.
Yeah.
I can eat the whole bag. Like there's zero fat grams. And then your insides are just crying to stop. They're saying, stop eating this Alestra chip bag. That's not real food.
Well, just like our kids, just like hopefully it's so much easier for the younger generation to come to grips with whatever they want to be in their sexuality. I'm really hoping that the body image thing will also be easier for them because you're seeing so many different representations, you know, so hopefully that's what they're growing up with. But we have to be careful how we talk about it, what we model, you know, that's really tough.
Yeah, it's hard because I think we were all raised in like I said, in the Alestra world, in the Snackwell world. So I think we're all trying to figure out like...
We're living that hashtag Snackwell life. I don't even know if they still exist. They're not coming on as a sponsor, I'm telling you.
Didn't they have a version of a Malamar? They had like a
That's
version
what
of
I was
a,
thinking yeah. about, Jess. Yeah, they were it like was like thick.
A, it was like thick. It had a marshmallow on top of...
We had a neighbor who worked for the company that made those. And I remember... This sounds so trashy of us, but I remember they would throw away boxes on the curb, like of brand new ones.
And I remember
on us,
it was like the green Snackwell box.
I remember us
going dumpster diving or whatever you want to call it, like on the side on a sleepover. I know
that's so dark.
But we got like the boxes and I remember eating them and being like, well, they're throwing them away, but they were brand new boxes. That's... And I remember taking them to a tent at a sleepover and eating because I think they were expired. That's probably why they were throwing them away, but they worked for the company.
Oh my God. That is so funny. Well, you do spend some time in the book talking about snacks, which I really appreciated, especially because, you know, we weren't a snack house at my house and I coveted snacks. And again, if a box of Malamars came in, like I didn't know what to, my mind was with them every second of the day, you know, I'm walking around thinking about them.
Wait, because you didn't have them.
Can I get back to them? Yes. Yeah.
I had full-size Snickers
just in the house?
Friend, they were just there. I had gigantic bags of Doritos. I had Tasty Cakes.
Wow.
If you're not, do you know what a Tasty Cake is?
Yeah, I had a bad experience with a Tasty Cake recently, actually.
Oh, no. Wait, first of all, what were you doing eating a Tasty Cake as an adult?
That's
insane.
On my podcast, podcast, I like mentioned those cupcakes, like those Hostess Little Debbie ones that with the frosting on top. And so I decided to do like a live Instagram taste test. Okay. And
of all of the cupcakes.
So I did the Hostess Little Debbie and somebody was like, you got to try the Tasty Cakes one.
Oh,
so
I know. My dad loves those.
I don't make it a point to eat expired snacks, but I did it accidentally live on my Instagram. And you could see it on, I have it on the highlights because I literally ate it live and it was all wet and expired. And
because you would think that would last forever.
I don't feel like they are made to like,
it was wet withstand nuclear war.
Then I got an email. It was so gross. And I mean, you can literally see me ingest it live. And I got an email months later from Amazon where I purchased these. And apparently there was like mesh wiring in the Tasty Cake.
I gotta call my dad immediately.
It's on my highlights. You can see it like it's
mesh
like all happens in real
to
time.
Kill people?
I wasn't
to
even,
kill people?
It like accidentally got on the Tasty Cake.
No. Again, we've just lost another sponsor I would have gladly had on.
I hear they're really good if they're fresh. I just
listen, they're great. And I used to have a crimpet, a butterscotch crimpet in my lunch. So as much as I say, I had to bring my lunch every day, they were pretty great lunches. And you have to perfectly get it off to keep the frosting on it. Now, Jason Mantzoukas tells me a story. He took out a peanut butter cup, okay, in my presence, and he broke it into like 600 pieces. Before he
That's
ate it.
Psychotic.
And I was like,
he should be reported to the authorities.
Yeah, like, what's the point?
I was like, what are you doing?
That's psychotic.
Okay, well, when you hear why, you'll understand.
Oh, there was, yeah.
He was
experience.
In high school, okay, and his friend, you know the friend that had the Halloween candy hanging around in their house for a year plus.
Sure.
And their mom had thrown in a peanut butter cup from a year or two, okay, ago, past Halloween. And she cracked it open, maggots. And so that is why he loves them, but he must destroy them before he ingests them.
Wow. Okay? To me, there's nothing, I mean, I wow. get it, but like the experience of a peanut butter cup, like
it really is the crunch, it's the crackle and everything. But listen, we can't shame him for that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the
chilling video of Kourtney Kardashian eating a Kit Kat bar?
Does she go through the side?
She literally peels it off layer by layer. It's on YouTube. And it's
crazy.
layer by layer. Like, because, you know, like the Krispies are sort of stacked inside.
That's insane.
So she bites off the chocolate. Right.
Like nibbles it like a corn? Like a piece of corn.
Nibbles.
That is insane.
It's shocking.
Now, I just want to go back to snacks for one second.
Sure.
Why are we still on snacks? It's been 45 minutes of snacks. Danny wrote a really beautiful book.
No, but it's important. It's important. And okay. While we're at snacks, I have to say that I used to also think Kudos. Do you remember the Kudos bar? I don't believe they exist anymore.
What is a Kudos bar?
I know the name, but I'm trying...
Covered. But a thin layer of
M&M's.
Of chocolate.
Yeah,
it was the original Kind bar, but nothing healthy about it.
No, and I thought those were healthy to me. It was granola, but it was a candy bar.
M&Ms in them, but they were fake M&Ms. They were like sorry.
I'm going to tell you guys right now because I had a lot of shame around my family snacks.
Right.
A lot of feelings of like being deprived of snack cupboards. Not, you know, going over to see other kids with entire, you know, shelves of snacks and wondering what that life was.
Right.
You know, and for us, my mother was a perpetual dieter, Weight Watcher, every which way she was getting.
She couldn't have it around.
Multiple gym memberships that she never used. And so it was like snacks were forbidden. And so what we were offered after school was saltines and Diet Coke.
Such wow. a strange.
And at the time.
That's what you eat when you're sick.
Well, that's the thing. At the time, I was like, it's all we have. So, and I felt really embarrassed, especially if I had a friend over, like, do you want some saltine?
That's great. That's an insane thing.
Chase it with some Diet Coke.
Yeah. And, but now I think back on it and I'm like, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, and I love now a Diet
I'm actually
Coke.
Like in well,
yeah.
love
a Diet Coke.
A Diet Coke. You know, don't say it in front of Jessica.
I have a lot of feelings to
never drink it.
I have a theory about Diet Coke too, drinkers. Danny. I really think Diet Coke drinkers are the best people on earth. Specifically, I mean, I truly believe this with all of my heart because Diet Coke drinkers are fun. They're trying to keep it together a little bit,
yeah.
right? Like it's not a regular Coke. Like they're trying to sort of keep it together, yeah. but they need their fix.
A messy. Yes.
It's like a messy kind of fun person. Yeah. They like to go out. They like to party. They're totally trying to keep it together.
This is us.
Well, but this how about, yeah, but how about Lennon Parham, whose afternoon snack is a shorty Coke. She cracks it. You'll hear a little crick. A regular Coke, but tiny.
She's doing the best she can. She can't get it up completely. She needs a fix.
Talk about a snack cabinet. Go over there. They've got straight up fresh Nilla wafers.
Mm-hmm. I told Jessica, and Danny, I'm sorry to take you through this, but my dog had a surgery, has a feeding tube in, and I've had a lot of different experiences with this feeding tube this weekend. Please know that when Meatball coughed and I was trying to clean the feeding tube, that a ton of bile and stomach contents
came
up and out at me.
Please, June.
And it was really, really, June. Really. Wow. It was something else. That happened two times to me.
June.
That happened to me. That June, happened to me. Okay. Like I now walk with that. So please bear witness.
How did you not
see me, hear me? Right, that's that something moment. I went through. So yeah, so I've been through it with this feeding tube. But I say this because speaking of Coke, I told Jessica, I talked about it on the podcast this week, but this feeding tube has been keeps on getting clogged, can't get any meds down it, blah, blah, blah. And I've been told multiple times to unclog it. With Coke. And
because it will dissolve anything in it.
Coca-Cola into a medical setting feels so insane. But, and it made me think. Now, of course, when I needed it, I didn't have Coke. I only had my Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it probably doesn't have the same horrible things that the Coke
I did
has.
A Google search of like, can you use Diet Coke to clean a feeding tube? Regular Coke, and I couldn't really find anything that was definitive.
No conclusive answer.
No conclusive data or studies supporting that. But it certainly gave me pause.
We had a science teacher who took, now, mind you, I had a Coke every day, okay, of my childhood. Every single day, a nice cold Coke. But he put a human tooth, and I don't know where he got this tooth. He put a human tooth in a thing of Coke.
That's the real question, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, here's a human tooth, like okay?
The fucking tooth fairy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He fucking
going under pillows. Looking for the tooth.
Guys, I'm not even going to tell you about my friend who has a bag of a teeth business where he goes and collects teeth.
What?
Jessica?
For the gold.
What? What?
Gold.
Like
Jessica,
dead people? Not gold. Dead people's teeth.
That's
is it?
Right.
What the fuck are you saying?
I'm from dentists. They get the gold out.
Oh, my God. So he goes with the bag of teeth to the dentist to get the gold
business.
Out?
They get
no.
They get
no.
The
there is no. Okay, first of all, there's no. Absolutely not. This is not an industry. This is not a
unfortunately
sector.
For you, no, this is a family business. No, this is a family.
What do you
not.
Say, June Diane? I won't take that on. I won't take this on.
I will not take
this. You have to
this.
Take
this is
it
not
on.
A business. You cannot describe it as
he
such.
Collects.
This is absolutely criminal.
A business and he's doing great. He has a lot of real estate holdings. Yes, that is his job. And you can refuse to accept it, but it exists.
His job is to collect
to dentists,
human
yes,
teeth.
They go to dentists. They go to
what's his business card say? Me. What's his LinkedIn title?
I don't know what the title is, but when it came up, we were all shocked. We've been trying to
and
put
then
it
he sells
in
the gold.
Yes, and then you can yes, the gold is sold, and yes, it is legal. Gold is very, very expensive right now, my friends. Okay, this is an enterprising person that collects teeth for a living. Okay,
so I'm blown away.
Understand that's real.
Well, Danny, yeah. I have to ask you is because we did spend a little bit of this episode before you came on talking about our teeth and our journeys with our teeth. And I can't believe Jessica, I'm really quite stunned by the story of this man.
That's life, friend.
Shocking.
Look at it.
Everyone's got to make a living, I suppose.
I guess, but I do have to ask you, Danny, I am looking at your fantastic teeth.
What is, and I again, I am in the midst of reading your book, so I don't know if there's a teeth
there's not
tale
a,
in
well, there
here.
Well, there is actually a tooth tale about I lost a filling and I accidentally took it with me to the dry cleaner and it flew out of my pocket, which there is a story about that. At the height of the pandemic, I went to the dry cleaners with my stuff and I...
Why were you getting anything dry cleaned in the height of the pandemic?
Just because why not? Well,
I mean, I needed to Zoom. It was some shirts.
Oh, okay.
You know,
all right. So well put together man.
A filling fell out and it was like a filling that looked just like... it was a big filling. So it looked just like a tooth. And I had never lost a filling before in my whole life. But it was during the presidential debate. I had eaten a bag of caramels.
I stress ate
a whole bag during the debate.
Caramels. That's
so
going to do it.
Filling fell out. And I never lost one before. And I Googled it and said to take it with you to the dentist. So I wrapped it up in a tissue and put it in my pocket. And I didn't realize like the shirt pocket that I put it in was one of the shirts I was taking to the dry cleaner. And so I get to the dry cleaners and I frantically was removing the shirts from a tote bag to give to the woman at the counter. And the tooth flew. And it flew.
Did you scream, "My tooth, my tooth"?
My tooth. And this gay gentleman in West Hollywood, and I say that because his bag literally said that he was gay. He he had just instinctively picked up the filling realizing that it was a tooth filling.
In these COVID times, though, people's teeth,
it shook him to the core, and so he threw it instinctively. This is a whole chapter in the book. This is a whole.
Okay, great. Oh, so there is a whole. There's a whole. I can't wait to read that.
He flew. He instinctively threw it away from him.
The filling was just flying around this dry cleaners, just willy nilly. I mean, it was just.
It was flying around.
And of course, you know, it was at the time when everyone's really scared about germs and everything. And I didn't mean for my filling or my tooth to just be flying across this West Hollywood dry cleaners, but it happened nonetheless. And
it's something that happened to you.
I have good teeth. The only thing I recommend, I never had braces or anything.
No, what? Really? You were born with it. Now that's like a unicorn person.
But I will say that when I was in high school, I used to have sharper fangs.
Okay.
And there was
a
teacher.
Yeah.
But there was a teacher that used to make fun of them.
That's
because
not
they
crazy.
Were even they were even longer.
Crazy.
That's
it
public
was
school
a
for
math
you.
Teacher. A fucking asshole.
That's
fucking
public
asshole.
School for you.
But he used to call me like a vampire and stuff. And this was pre-Twilight.
Crazy.
This was pre-Twilight.
It was so
not.
It was cool to be a vampire. Yeah. Cool.
Nobody wanted
and
to
so
fuck
I
you
went to
at
the dentist. Right. No one wanted
for
no one wanted to yeah. No one wanted to fuck me at the time, but I had the sharp fangs. And because he made fun of me, I went to the dentist and got them filed down a little bit.
Right.
And then, of course, years later, Twilight becomes popular, all the rage. Everyone wants to fuck all the vampires.
Can you? People are putting them in.
And I regret it to this day.
People are putting in vampire implants. Yeah. You know, some weirdos are doing that.
Yeah, people. I mean, these would have been a hot commodity in the Twilight era.
Also, like, evolutionarily, listen, the fact you had perfect teeth, you would have already been in a caveman setting. You know, number one, because you're going to be ripping into that meat, you know what I mean? And chewing it faster than anybody. That's survival of the fittest, my friend. So fuck that math teacher. Guys, were so many fucked up things that happened to us.
Like, it's crazy.
I remember a teacher told one of my best friends when we were in high school that she had blowjob lips.
What?
A woman.
Wow.
And she was
it
like,
was a different
you.
Time. It was a different time.
I had a teacher pull me in from like it was like one of those sparse hallways, pulled me in. And he said, because I was, you know, I was dating a bad boy. Thank you. And he said, "What are you doing with that guy?"
Well, he was right on that, right?
No, because he had the greatest abs on the planet.
Oh,
I knew exactly what I was doing with him. But
sure.
he said, "You deserve somebody who's, you know, going to treat you right."
He wanted you to settle down with a nice guy and you weren't ready to.
Yeah, of all these stories, I'm most okay with that one, Jessica.
What?
Danny, I am. Sounds like a kindly
You sound like a nice gentleman.
Sounds like a nice man.
Oh, you're
like,
looking out for me.
I'm picturing him as like a just warm sort of Santa-like
figure.
I'm
literally picturing Santa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys.
Danny, thank you so much for joining us. So tell our deep divers
everything
where
about
we
you
can find your book. We didn't even get into anything. We're going to have to have you back.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're willing. Well,
I'm so happy to be here and I love you both. And Everything Iconic is the name of my podcast. And then the book is called How Do I Unremember This? You can get it anywhere. And I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And just really quickly, obviously, I want to tell everyone to watch Playing House because it was so good, underrated, gone too soon.
Thank you.
And I also want to take a moment for June Diane to talk about The High Note because I think it's like a very important film because we all sort of need the fun, the relaxation. To me, it's like the exact kind of movie that I love in that it's just like a warm hug when you put it on. It's like good music, funny performances, fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's just a good movie that we don't get enough movies like that anymore.
You know
and
what? They're not
I just need a
like
relaxing movie.
How
like
have I
that.
Not seen this movie? I can't. I don't understand.
You need to.
Is this
because
when you were by
you
a
why.
Pool in a
it got
hot
lost.
Pant?
It got lost.
Yes,
in the pandemic.
It got lost because it came out like in, and it was supposed to have a theatrical release. Really got fucked. And I do encourage. Thank you so much for bringing that up, Danny.
Oh my
because
God,
it is,
I can't believe I've
actually,
seen it. Watch
they're
it
not making movies like that anymore, mm-hmm. and they should.
Yeah.
And Tracee Ellis Ross is giving an unbelievable
so
performance in it, and she's so fucking funny, and she's a movie star. Yeah. And that's why I was so mad about the release of it because she. As a performer is so deserving of like that spotlight and she deserves to be. And that's a movie that actually does deserve to be on a big screen because it's beautifully shot by Misha Ganatra.
And the song, so her song Love Myself is fantastic from it.
It's fantastic.
I mean, it's just such a warm, like it's the perfect kind of, I imagine it would have been the movie when I was a teenager, like I would have rented it every weekend. Like it was like the one I would have just like rented. I would have watched it all the time. And it's just like an easy movie to watch in these times where everything is so exhausting to watch.
That's what we need.
Really
we need books like yours that make us laugh and then also tear up, but like ultimately make us feel cozy and make us feel understood and not alone. That's
I'm
what
hoping
we need.
We move towards, like especially with TV and movies, I'm hoping we move towards more of like The High Note, A First Wives Club, like that
100
type of movie.
Yes! Get me When Harry Met Sally. Get me My Best Friend's Wedding. Get me all of it. I was on set on Monday on something I can't reveal, but I was with 50 tiny rescue dogs. And this sketch I was doing was so fucking stupid. It was so dumb. We were laughing so hard. And I turned to one of the comedians and I said, I feel like we are returning to the days of Sid Caesar. Mm. Like, we just want fun and goofy and silly and dumb. And I am here for all.
I want a musical number in every comedy, like just one.
I want a synchronized swimming routine.
A Romy and Michelle synchronized dance.
Thank
like
you.
I just,
why not?
That doesn't make any fucking sense. That's what I want.
Why
Thank
not?
You.
Ugh, what a great.
That's what
note
your book is
on.
A synchronized swimming routine. Absolutely. Wow.
And
thank
that,
you,
and
Danny.
I'm glad we ended on a call to action. Yes, you can. And we ended on a real call to action and a call to arms. And I appreciate that. Danny, thank you so much.
I love you both. Thank you so
having
much for
us.
Having me.
You can find Danny on Twitter at Danny Pellegrino, on Instagram at Danny Pellegrino. And please do buy his book wherever books are sold. And just a word about independent booksellers because. This is the cool thing about indie bookstores. If they don't have this and if they're not selling it
they'll
right
order
now,
it.
It's on the New York Times bestseller, they're going to have it. But they will order it for
I
you.
I do
and
that.
It will come I do that all the time.
The
I do
library,
that with Lila
Lewin. Ask the library.
Ask the library. Because we need to do a whole other episode about what's happening with libraries. But their indie booksellers are really struggling. And I'm really trying to purchase my books from there. And I
your local bookstore. And you can go to indiebound.org and they actually will connect you with your bookstore in the area. So you can search
That's
for
so
the
cool.
book there and they'll show you your list of options of all the indie bookstores. And it's
also
a great way to
so
support your
so nice is you
store.
Go in, and I know we're digressing, but you go in. I went in the other day because I had ordered a book and I said, I want something. It has to take place in France. That's all I want. And she goes, I've got two for you. These the people who work
they
in
know.
These bookstores, they know. And they're giving you recommendations.
Like yes.
They're a concierge.
It's sommeliers.
It's an experience going into a bookstore.
It really
and
is.
I
know
used
that
to work at a Borders bookstore. And I think it's important to go. Obviously, that was a chain that was more of a Fox Books versus these indie stores, which are a shop around the corner. But I think... Go into the bookstore, ask them, have them help you. And you might spend a couple extra dollars for the book, but it's about supporting the local bookstore because we don't want them to go anywhere.
Right. Absolutely. How do I unremember this? Unfortunately, True Stories by Danny Pellegrino. Thank you so much, Danny. And Thank Deep Divers, you, ladies. We will see you next week.
Keep your teeth safe.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.